news ticker for Tuesday, June 5th, 2012. I'm Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. So TechCrunch starts off the day and lets us know that Smarter, one of my favorite company names, grabs a $1.7 million round of funding from True Ventures and Google Ventures. Boston-based startup Smarter has been quietly building a gamified platform that provides job searchers with a simple way to show employers what they know by taking quizzes and subjects that range from engineering to music. Smarter crowdsources its test designs and employs a smart ranking system to give its candidates a score and lets them broadcast their successes to the world. Today, the startup offers more than 500 skills, and they announced that its community has now acquired over 10 million questions at an average of 70,000 questions per day. To harness this growth, Smarter is taking on another round of capital as it officially closed $1.75 million in Series A financing today, bringing its total funding to $3 million.
Yeah.
Congrats to Smarter.
And if they really wanted to, they could also change the name. Apparently, with this traffic every day or every month, people don't seem to have, weird feelings with Smarterer. So, why not? We are not only smarter, so we are Smarterer or using Smarterer. Why not?
Exactly.
Okay. And, college kids start a social enterprise to tell stories for good. That's a story on Fast Coexist, and the company or the kids call themselves Teach Twice, reaches out to communities around the world and works to create a children's story based on local culture or arranges to translate an already existing book. They print and sell the book back home and send the proceeds to build schools or send kids to class in the community where the story originated. Quote, the Teach Twice book enhances the education of two children and two communities worlds apart, yet connected through a shared commitment to education and a desire to learn from books and from each other, says the group's website. Teach Twice placed third in a Vanderbilt business plan competition and won a semi-finalist grant in the Dell Social Innovation Challenge. Other startup funding came from a successful campaign through Kickstarter. Once again, that's nice to hear. And where the Teach Twice team raised more than $7,500 in less than 2 months. So although that's a smaller campaign, but it adds up with the other scholarships, business plan competitions. It's a nice idea. I mean,
it is.
I'm not sure whether it would really be necessary to print the book. Sure, if it's in the developing world, it probably is useful to print it. Kind of like it.
Yeah.
Wish them
I like it too.
Best of
I like
luck.
It too. Yeah, absolutely. So students can win a gaming scholarship. Speaking of students and scholarships, the scholarship by online gaming broadcast network Twitch TV will give students a chance to take passion and make it a profession, said Matthew DiPietro, Twitch TV's vice president of marketing. We're giving people an opportunity to make a living off their video game streaming activity. The San Francisco-based company will announce the scholarship program at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, a video game conference, also known as E3. Applicants may apply on Twitch.tv. Twitch TV is giving away $50,000 to support 5 young gamers. Gamers will need at least a 3.0 GPA, plus demonstrate a skill in any game to win a $10,000 scholarship. So Mashable brings us that story, and I've got a few kids who'd be all over that.
If they have the gaming competencies, want to go to college, I think they want to. Why not? I mean, give it a shot. So $10,000 $10,000 is not really, really big, but I read that Twitch TV has only existed for 1 year. So I think giving away $50,000 in scholarships, that's great. Another good story.
Yeah.
And of course, yesterday the story made big news. We talked about it. So is Facebook about to introduce accounts for children under 13. We picked the story from GigaOm. And Facebook is testing new features that would give children under 13 access to the giant social network, according to a report published Monday in the Wall Street Journal. Although one version of this new program would require children to have accounts that are linked to an adult, so that supervision is easier. Some parents have raised concerns about allowing preteens access the network at all due to Facebook's well, past handling of privacy-related issues. Others, however, argue that plenty of younger children already access Facebook anyway, despite the 13-year-old age limit, and that Facebook is wise to make it official. And, I guess.
It's not a bad point, actually. I mean, there's an awful lot of kids who do it incognito, and
it's not particularly difficult to modify your age, and I guess even sometimes you get a nod from your parents, maybe not when you are 8 or 9, but probably 12 or 13 or so.
Right.
Yeah, so the supervision feature or linking it that the parents were able to sort of monitor or know or maybe get notifications what their kids are up doing on Facebook, who they are adding as friends and so on, I guess that wouldn't be the worst case scenario somewhat.
No, something to increase some transparency and visibility for parents, probably a good thing, although I'm sure kids will still find ways to bypass that too.
Of course, but
they
do anyway, so.
right. in K-12 and higher ed news, all but three states reject pink slime in school lunches. I love this story. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the vast majority of states participating in its national school lunch program have opted to order ground beef that doesn't contain the product known as lean, finely textured beef. Only three states, Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota, big beef producers, chose to order beef that may contain the filler. The product has been used for decades, and federal regulators say it's safe to eat. It nevertheless became the center of national attention here in the states after the nickname pink slime was quoted in a New York Times article on the safety of meat processing methods. The filler is made of fatty bits of beef that are heated and then treated with a puff of ammonia to kill the bacteria.
Yummy.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
I love the name lean, finely textured beef. So, although it's not
meat. Yeah, they say nothing of the white slime, though, which is the newest and latest, which is even nastier stuff. But this is why I don't eat red meat.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and of course, it's not only limited to the States, although our school canteens over here in Europe are pretty bad as well. You have a lot of horror stories from the UK also. And, well, I wouldn't say that maybe at age 14, 15, I was the most educated about eating well, but we see what our kids are struggling with, obesity, and also I think eating healthy is somewhat at least becoming a more important topic in society, and that's really good. And also that, I mean, there are all those surveys that like eating healthy food is not more expensive than this slime thing. So.
And I think schools are beginning to find that they can source things locally, mm-hmm. and they can do things a little bit smarter. You know, school lunch is still school lunch, but it's perhaps not as bad as it could be. And movement in that direction is always a good thing. So
we had a story we received from University of the People, and they now reached the 1 million Facebook fans and also, they're adding new advisors. So the University of the People, the world's first tuition-free online university, surpassed the 1 million Facebook fan mark today. That was yesterday, as we wanted to do ENT yesterday. So for comparison, Harvard has 1.7 million fans on Facebook, and Stanford only 370,000. As University of the People founder and president Shai Reshef recently stated, the nonprofit is gaining more and more momentum. Over the past weeks, University of the People expanded the advisory board and added Dr. Dalton Conley as new Dean of Arts and Sciences and created a new President's Council. Congratulations, UO people.
Absolutely. A million fans, so that certainly says something about the general movement mm-hmm. in education now.
Have you heard that Udacity teamed up with Pearson for research?
No.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if I should hand it to Pearson or if I should be kicking the folks at Udacity. I every time Pearson looks like the big 800-pound gorilla, they do something that's innovative and interesting. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have to keep sort of handing it to Pearson. It just makes me feel bad to It's like shopping at Walmart. You know, we all do it, and it saves us money, and it's not a bad thing, but I feel kind of guilty when I swipe the card there. Yeah. Oh, well. The ranking of the top 10 countries and their higher ed systems. Universitas 21, a global network of research universities, recently released its official rankings based on the results of a year-long study. The study's authors examined education systems in 48 nations around the world, relying on four measures: resources, including investments by government and the private sector; output, the amount of research schools produce and their impact; connectivity, how well they collaborate with other nations; and environment, campus diversity and breadth of opportunities. The researchers then adjusted the data for population. So that's over on good.is, and an interesting set of rankings.
The U.S. first place, mainly, I think, at least the article states, you are putting out the, biggest number of research papers. And
And there's still a lot of investment in higher ed, both from the private and public sector. And I'm sure that bumped us up. But collaboration, I don't know about all of that. We're still a little ivory tower over here. But
not only over there.
Yeah, true.
University World News tells us that more lectures in Arabic at universities in the Arabic world are at least demanded. So Arab universities are coming under increasing pressure to use Arabic as a medium of instruction and expression in higher education. In the latest development in the United Arab Emirates, Ryan Gjovik, head of Common Educational Proficiency Assessment at the National Admissions and Placement Office, what a nice title, called on universities to offer degrees in Arabic to provide students with an alternative to learning through the medium of English. So relates a little bit to last episode's story of Arabic overtaking English on Facebook in the Middle East. So definitely some initiatives there.
Andre Klein wrote an interesting article as well, peripherally related, talking about kind of the need to use English and written words and instruction, and how that it can be a barrier, and then there are cultural issues associated with it, and certainly access issues. So it kind of makes sense, but yet English remains this de facto standard worldwide. So we'll see as the number of non-native English speakers increases drastically and number of native English speakers decreases. So
and Arabic is not really a unified language. It can differ quite a bit from whether you are in North Africa or in the United Arab Emirates or somewhere else. So they have big differences. And probably had to define some, which exists, of course, some standard Arabic. But I think at least for the, if you will, somewhat educated classes, I guess English or usage of English also has some advantages, as it sometimes, I think, also facilitates some things. But I mean, of course, getting instruction in your native language is not a bad thing as well.
Right. Out of curiosity, they're in France, where they tend to take their native language a little more seriously than some other folks. Does most instruction in universities occur in French?
Yeah, definitely. So English is really a minority, can be in some of the private schools or when you really focus on some business studies. I would say French people then tend more to go for a year abroad or maybe even after university work sometime abroad, but the instruction is really predominantly in French.
In French. Yeah. Makes sense. So World War II veteran Jack Fletcher graduates from high school 70 years later in Spur, Texas. Jack Fletcher's in his senior year of high school in Spur, Texas when World War II broke out. Graduation would have to wait 70 years, as it turned out. Fletcher traveled the world after the war, now lives in Australia, but a special ceremony brought him back as an honorary graduate of the Spur High School class of 2012. That's according to NBC station KCBD of Lubbock. I had to look to make sure they put that certificate in there. He laughed at the graduation ceremony. I was afraid they were kidding me. So U.S. News and NBC bring us that story, which is cool. My second oldest son has graduation this weekend, and the Duke of Athol, Scotland, was here since it's the namesake for my town and visited for the town's 250th anniversary, and he brought his own private army. Apparently, he's the only guy in Europe who can have a private army. So So good weekend for graduation.
Does he have a picture with the Duke?
He does actually. I nailed the picture as he was shaking his hand because he was helping present the diplomas
sure.
to the graduating
That's cool.
class. So I have to put that up.
I will definitely have a look on Facebook. Okay, on Salon, we have a story. Your words matter. Of course they do. Ineffective or negative communication may lead to more than just a bad day. New research has shown that it can change the neutral pathways in our brains and foster long-lasting negativity. On the other hand, there's evidence to suggest that positive words expressing values such as kindness and respect can go a long way toward building a better brain. A new book, the title is Words Can Change Your Brain, co-authored by Loyola Marymount, Mark Robert Waldman and Andrew Newberg, MD, argues that our minds are hardwired to respond favorably to certain types of speech and negatively to others. Starting in childhood, human brains are molded by the words they hear, and they claim that teaching children to use positive words helps them with emotional control and can even increase their attention spans. The book describes compassionate communication, a method they believe can help people express themselves more effectively, but also offers a fascinating overview of the latest science around speech and neuroscience. Wow.
Cool. Oh, it's good. I mean, there's the responsive classroom movement, which really kind of ties into this, but it's always good to see some research backing that up. Responsive classroom is touchy-feely and nice, but...
Today I also read, not 100% related, but also how we deal with criticism from others and how the way or the criticism is being expressed sort of shapes the way how we understand it and deal with it. So that's over on Lifehacker. If you search for criticism, it's quite an interesting article. Also goes quite deeply into the neuroscience, so that's why I mentioned it. It's somewhat related.
Nice. Well, here's I don't know if I believe it, living out in the middle of nowhere and having just paid through the nose to start satellite service in a couple of days out here. But Ericsson tells us that 85% of the world will see 3G and 4G in 2017. It took 12 years for 3G technologies to touch half the world's population, but getting to 85% coverage will only take another 5, according to wireless infrastructure vendor Ericsson. New HSPA Plus and LTE network deployments will lead to a near blanketing of the world's populated areas with mobile broadband by 2017, according to an article over in GigaOm. I certainly hope so, especially in the developing world where the cell phone remains the de facto means of connecting to the internet. It's going to take more than...
In 5 years' time, that's ambitious. I, being in this house for, about 5 years now, so the past 5 years, and nothing much happened. I don't know if this is the most realistic scenario, but...
Yeah, hey, fingers are crossed.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll make it out to our little towns.
So, a story from ABC News. U.S. cuts Sesame Street funds in Pakistan after Elmo show caught red-handed. Okay. The United States has canceled funding for a $20 million project that brought Sesame Street to Pakistan after allegations that funds were being misused by a Pakistani puppet theater. The project was a co-production between U.S.-based Sesame Workshop and Rafi Pir Puppet Workshop based in Lahore. Newspapers reported today that Rafi Pir was allegedly using the money given by the U.S. to pay off old debts and rewarded lucrative contracts to sources. Other allegations include building a fancy residential complex featuring swimming pools with the U.S. funds. Well, if you're working that hard in the puppet theater industry in Pakistan...
You need a break,
right? And it's hot.
I think you deserve it. Exactly. You deserve a swimming pool. Oh, well. Oh, that closes this episode of ENT. You'll find all the links to the articles we covered on EduQuest. Just go to edgequest.com/ENT20. And also follow the EdNewsTicker on Twitter, at EdNewsTicker. Stay updated during the week. You can help us with the show. Just go to our subreddit at EdNewsTicker.reddit.com and submit your own articles or vote and comment on those you want us to discuss during the show. If you're interested in sponsoring ENT or other shows on EduQuest, just send us an email to sponsor@EduQuest.com. ENT will be back on Friday. Until then, have a great rest of the week, everyone.